This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Know thy enemy. So we're about to talk about Gavin Newsom. And I know it seems like it's early. We still have midterms, right? We have all these local elections. We have midterm elections. But it's early. It is early, but he's preparing. Shouldn't we? That's the important thing to note. Gavin Newsom, as much as I despise him, is a very capable politician who's wanted to run for president forever. He's one of those guys. He's always wanted to be president. He was crisscrossing the country years ago, last election cycle. He was crisscrossing the country, and they're always selling it as I'm doing a speaking tour or I'm campaigning for someone else, but that's not what they're doing, you see. They're bouncing around, building the bones of what will be a presidential campaign a few years from now. Gavin Newsom is going to run. Gavin Newsom is going to raise a boatload of money. We have to be wary of it. We do. And what we should not do, and what we're all tempted to do, I definitely am, is convince ourselves that the communists are down and out. They're dead and gone. They're on the outs now. The culture has moved away from them, and they're never going to win another election. That's just not the kind of country we have right now. The reason we have been blowing back and forth for quite a while is American citizens, in general, are displeased with the state of things. They think life is too expensive, too dirty, pick your way to describe it, but when the American people are unhappy, when any people are unhappy, and they have the opportunity to change their government, they oftentimes do. And you and me, we can scream at them till we're blue in the face about, well, you don't change it back to the people who burn it down. Why would you give it? But that falls on deaf ears. All the brain-dead morons out there who actually decide our elections, I'm talking about the people who vote Democrat this cycle, then Republican next cycle. Well, I don't like it, the back and forth and back and forth. These are the people who decide elections. Where are we going to be in 2028? I have no friggin' idea, and neither do you. We could be in the middle of a war, a recession, an economic boom. Things might be great. I don't know. Which brings us back to Gavin Newsom. The man's running. Why do you think he's out there talking about guns?
Brother, this is fabulous. You know what? Last thing people would expect is that I respect this gift.
Really?
I appreciate. Yeah, man. I'm not anti-gun at all. I'm for just some gun safe common sense that I think vast majority of folks on the right and the left agree. And I think we've lost a little touch with some common sense around background checks.
That's a good answer. Well, I hate it. Okay, I hate it. I know you hate it. And I know you're well aware that's how the communist tries to sell what he does. It's common sense. Well, it's common sense. That's how they nibble around the edges of your gun rights so they can eventually disarm you and then throw you in a gulag, which is really what they want to do. I know that. I got that. And you got that. We understand each other on that. But for the norm out there, for the normies, that's what they want to hear. That sounds like a very common sense thing. It's capable. Remember when they tried to butch up Tim Walz?
It's a natural reaction. I think it's one of the reasons we're losing so many men. And again, it's multi-ethnic. It's not just white men. We're losing them. We're losing them to these guys online. We're losing them to people that I'm bringing on this podcast as well. That's why I brought...
These are bad guys, though. These are bad guys.
But they exist, and we could deny they exist. They exist. Not only they exist, they persist, and they're actually influencing young kids every single day.
How do we push some of those guys back under a rock?
I think we have to first understand what their motivations are. I think we have to understand what they're actually doing.
And I don't think that's racism and misogyny?
I think there's a lot of that, but I don't think it's exclusively that. When you talk to a guy like Steve Bannon, he reminded me a little bit of my grandfather when he talks about working folks.
I can't message that women shouldn't have...
But I think if we say people are misogynist, then we're falling prey. We're in that frame. Not everybody that disagrees with us is a misogynist. I think this notion of toxicity in masculinity needs to be separated. And I think it's been conflated. And I think we're going to have to work on that.
a good answer. You see, Democrats hemorrhaged young men last election. Demographically, you could argue that's the reason Donald Trump is in the White House. When you look at how young men voted, they hate the Democrat Party. And in large part because the Democrat Party speaks the way Tim Walz spoke there. Well, aren't they all just sexist? They're stupid. They're all racist. Just keep calling them names. Gavin Newsom, now he feels the same way, don't get me wrong. But he understands that's how you're going to lose all of them. No one's going to come vote for you if that's how you speak to them. So he's just better at it. And he's out there trying to rev up the Democrat base because they're all a bunch of Trump deranged, insane people who've been driven batty by Trump for 10 years. And so he's telling them all that there won't be an election.
Wake up. You will lose your country. Again, it's not about Democrats. Or it's about all of us.
So you're absolutely convinced he's...
I'm absolutely
convinced. 2028.
You've seen it. He's tried to steal the last election. He's trying to rig it in plain sight.
That's what Democrats want to hear. That's what Democrats want to hear. You have to run as a Democrat on fighting Trump at all times now. Fighting Trump. Now, all that's the bad news, and we're going to get to some guests who talk about Gavin Newsom, guests who know him quite well, people who are current or formerly California residents. But the good news is this. I want to thank Gavin Newsom, actually, for this. One of my favorite things in politics is Democrat politicians trying to win the black vote. You know, it just always creates these cringy, hilarious, kind of racist moments. You have Joe Biden telling them that the Republicans are going to put him in chains. You had Hillary Clinton famously saying she carries hot sauce around in her purse. Gavin Newsom went on a podcast with some NBA guys and talked about shooting hoops and Wonder Bread.
All this anti-woke stuff is just anti-black.
Mm-hmm.
Period, full stop. All the CRT, ESG, DEI stuff, that's all this is. Mm-hmm. It's this great purge, but also, you know, it was also about paying the bills, man. And it was just like hustling. And so I was out there kind of raising myself, turning on the TV, started, you know, just getting obsessed, you know, sitting there with the, you know, the Wonder Bread and five stacks of,
hey, you know, like the white stack bomb story.
You know, man. Come on. Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Man, I love, good, man, bro. Yeah. Are you talking about me?
Young YG.
YG, but man.
Every day in the backyard, just bouncing the basketball, throwing the ball against the wall until the ball is just like fraying, man.
Anyway, let's talk to Mike Slater about it next. Let me help you out. Chalk. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Maybe you've heard me talk about taking a male vitality stack every day. Maybe you've heard me talk about that for, what, 3-4 years? I've been taking it 4 years, I think, now. Maybe you've considered a female vitality stack. Maybe you're thinking, I want more energy. But maybe you're hesitant. May I make a suggestion? Try some chocolate powder. That's it. Go get a bag of chocolate powder. It's delicious. You put it in a glass of milk or a smoothie, something in the morning. It's really my breakfast half the time. It's packed full of vitamins and minerals. Tell me you don't feel so much better, more energy all day long. Good kind of energy, not the energy drink. I'm dying. Try it. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
You were on the board and you wanted to become mayor and then you wanted to become governor. That didn't work. So then you wanted to become lieutenant governor. And, you know, I suspect you want to be president one day.
Oh, God, no.
Really?
Why do they all lie about that? It's always so exhausting. They all do it. Republicans do it too. No, I don't want to be president. I mean, do you want me to be president? Joining me now, host of the wonderful Politics by Faith podcast, someone who knows Gavin Newsom quite well, Mike Slater. Mike, it's the lying that gets me. Why? What's wrong with just saying, yeah, I'm an ambitious person, I'm in politics, I want to run for president? Why do they all have to do the reluctant public servant thing? I find it exhausting.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom has wanted to run for president since he was a poor black youth growing up on the wrong side of the tracks in California. I think that's what he was in. It was, he was doing like this podcast the other day with these NBA guys, and he was like, "Oh man, like I grew up so poor, and I could barely afford food, and I was like, my mom had to make my own clothes." He's like painting this whole picture. That's the other thing you gotta do. You gotta do this like reluctant George Washington thing, where like, "Oh, I don't really want to be," and then you also gotta do the "I grew up poor and impoverished, just like you people." Give me a break. Gavin Newsom is such a liar, such a snake. Real quick background about Gavin Newsom for when he does run. And to be clear, he's been wanting to run his entire life. We'll get to that in a second. But Gavin Newsom tells a story about how he grew up poor. His dad was, I was looking up before I got on here, Jesse, because I was thinking, was his dad the lawyer for the Getty oil family? Or was his dad the financial advisor for the Getty? I forget which one it was. Turns out he was both. He was the top lawyer and the heir, or the whoever, I don't even know what it's called because I don't have a $1 billion trust. But he was in charge of all the financial trust for the Getty oil, for billions and billions of dollars. No one in history has been more connected than a young Gavin Newsom. That's how he got his first job through Willie Brown, who was the mayor of San Francisco. He was appointed to the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco, and then he became the mayor, and then he went up to lieutenant governor, and now he's the governor. And of course, he wants to be president. He's always wanted to be president. But I think it's so rich that Gavin Newsom, who just the other day was the only really American who went to the big global warming conference in Brazil, like all the real countries in the world didn't even go. But Gavin Newsom went to represent America because the Trump administration didn't go. Gavin Newsom is rich and famous because of oil, because of the Getty oil family. But it's not just him. Quick sidebar, and then we'll get back to Gavin. The previous governor before Gavin Newsom was Jerry Brown. His dad, Pat Brown, was the governor of California in the 1960s. Pat Brown was actually a pretty good governor. That's why we have the UC system and highways and nuclear power plants and water facilities. Like Pat Brown built a lot. Pat Brown, after he was governor, went to go work for the military dictatorship-led oil company in Indonesia. And he is the one who hooked up this Indonesian oil company with all these oil contracts in California. So the reason Pat Brown, who is like uber crazy environmentalist when he was governor of California, he got rich because of oil too. So the two most recent governors of California who are always on this this environmentalism crusade, both are just dripping in oil money. I just thought you would like that story.
I did like that story a lot, Mike. This Getty family. Tell me about I keep hearing about the Getty family, but people outside of California haven't really heard of these people. Who are they? What?
Oh, Getty Oil. I mean, they don't throw their name around so much anymore, but I mean, they got tons and tons of money and tons of connections. Gavin Newsom's whole life is about connections with the machine, the party machine, with the Pelosi's as well. There's another party machine up in San Francisco. Think about this. All the national politicians who have come out of California, come out of San Francisco. The national politicians don't come out of LA. They certainly don't come out of San Diego, where I spent a long time. It's way more cool and relaxing than San Diego. They're all coming out of this crazy party machine out of San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi has been the leader of it more recently. And the Gettys, they're all up there in Northern California as well. So it's just money and connections. And it's about time that the people of America say enough of San Francisco politicians. We don't want any more of them. Thank you very much. They're total failures. Now, I think the good news about San Francisco politicians, if I may, is they're just not ready for prime time because they never took the reps. We see it with Kamala. She's kind of worked her way up the ranks of California, and then they put her on this national platform, and we're like, oh, wow, you're not capable of doing anything, actually. And I think Gavin Newsom, he's obviously more capable than Kamala Harris, but he's still, it's easy. If you're a Democrat and you work up the ranks in the machine of San Francisco, like that's easy. That's small ball. That's soft pitch softball, man. Like Gavin Newsom is playing like rec league softball in town. That's politics in California if you're a Democrat. And then they put him in the major leagues one day and he goes in thinking he's like tough stuff. Like, oh, I got this. I'm hitting dingers, no problem. And then he goes into the major leagues and gets asked real questions and has to have real accountability held to him in a real debate. And he looks like a total fool. And we got a little hint of that. It was like a couple years ago. Remember he did that debate with DeSantis? And he got totally smoked. And that's what it's going to be like when he runs for president. So I hope that the American people pretty quickly see that Gavin Newsom is going to be pretty out of his league when he gets into the national scene.
Mike, how many of his scandals, because he's had scandals, of course, he's a sleazeball, he's a politician anyway, I mean, he's had affairs, he had all that COVID French laundry stuff, he's had scandals, there's no question, but do they stain him nationally? I know Californians are aware of them, certainly California Republicans are, but when he kicks off this run for president, what follows with him?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I became really disillusioned with California politics, and one of the reasons we moved after COVID. COVID was horrific in every way in California. It was ridiculous. And you mentioned the French laundry, right? Not only the French laundry, as he was shutting down schools across the entire country and forcing everyone to wear masks, his kids were going to a private school that wasn't shut down. Okay, so it's like, what are we doing here? He was recalled, right? We did a recall effort. Big, get the, you know, you got to sign a thing to get him to recall. But then the people overwhelmingly voted to keep him. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like, it was like hopeless, right? And that's just the way it is in California. It's been that way since 1994. We can explain why if you want to ask that later. But I was thinking, man, is this going to work? Like, will the people of Iowa vote for this? Will Democrats in Wisconsin vote for this guy? And maybe it's not the COVID stuff that sticks, unfortunately. You and I agree that it definitely should. Like, it should be disqualifying, and they should be run out of, like embarrassed, constantly mocked and ridiculed, and worse. I just think it's the result of everything in California. Just everything, the homelessness, the income inequality. I mean, it's a bad place. There's total failure. The open drug dens, the crime is out of control. I mean, this is like where George Soros has his DAs like crazy across California. I mean, like, you name the issue. We just recently, it was a story about UC San Diego and how UC San Diego, which is one of the big UC schools, one of the big impressive schools, they have so many kids in this school, this college, that are in remedial math, all the way down to first grade level remedial math. First grade. Don't even know what a fraction is. And they're in the UC San Diego, like one of the top UC schools. It's like Berkeley, UCLA, UC San Diego. Those are the big three. They don't even know fractions. And they're in UC San Diego, which is a total failure of not only the UC system, but also the K-12 system. We can look at the amount of illegal aliens that are in California. 25% of all the illegal aliens in the country are in California. And we see the consequences of that. So there's very little that Gavin Newsom can point to other than Silicon Valley. It's the only reason why California is still somewhat afloat, is because of all the money that comes out of, you know, where he's from, with all the connections and the money out of Silicon Valley. But man, that's got to dry up eventually. And there's nothing else that he can point to other than that. I hope the rest of the country won't be dazzled by the money and his slickness out of San Francisco, and instead we'll see the reality of what he's done to the state.
Mike, before you go, tell me about the Politics by Faith podcast. I mean, I am well aware of it, obviously. I'm a fan, but tell everyone else.
I appreciate that, bro. Thank you very much. We take the news of the day. We run it through a biblical filter to try to make sense of it and what's happening. It started off with, years ago, we were in a time of a lot of anxiety. So it's like, hey, man, it's okay. Like, there's nothing new under the sun. We can get through this. And hopefully everyone can be like, take a breath and move forward with confidence. But now I'm feeling pretty good about things. I think politically, at least, things are happening a little better. But we still look at everything through the biblical context to try to make sense of what's happening. If I could throw one for Gavin Newsom, Isaiah 10 says, woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees and turn aside the needy from justice and rob the poor of my people of their right. There's no state that has more poverty. There's no state that has more inequality. There's no state that has worse education results. There's no state that has more taxation. If Gavin Newsom wants to run in a nation that the number one topic right now is affordability, that's why Zohran won in New York City. Zohran is an outsider, so he could come in to fix it. Gavin Newsom's the ultimate insider. He's been there forever. What has he done to fix this? What has he done to fix affordability? Nothing. He's done horrible things for this state, for California. He has decreed many iniquitous decrees. Woe to him, and I hope the people of America make him realize that soon.
I hope so too, Mike. Thank you, brother. Come back. We're going to talk to Ann Coulter next. I love chips. I'm a chip man. Everybody knows that that's what I dig on is chips. And when I walk in a gas station now, I actually can walk past the chip aisle. And I never used to walk past the chip aisle. Why? Because I have Massa chips waiting for me at home. When I first heard about Massa chips, I was told that they're healthy because they only have three ingredients, right? There's no seed oils, it's tallow, and salt, and corn. You know what I heard when someone said healthy? Disgusting. No. Potato chips with three ingredients are everything for me now because Vandy Crisps figured out how to do them right. That's why you need to go try a bag. In fact, I would try every flavor they have. The Smokehouse is like their barbecue. That's really my jam. I like the plain ones. My son freaks out over the ones that taste like Italian dressing. They're freaking glorious. Go get some Vandy Crisps at vandycrisps.com/JesseTV. Freaking fantastic.
I think there's a California derangement syndrome, and he's part of it. I mean, I think people are obsessed with focusing on what's wrong with the state and not what's right with the state. I mean, you have more scientists, engineers, more researchers, more Nobel laureates in the state than any other state in the nation. We're the fourth largest economy in the world, $4.1 trillion. We're the finest system of higher education that addresses the issue of equity better than any other public education system in the world. We dominate in every category. Name it. We're the biggest manufacturing state, biggest farming state, ranchers and hunting jobs, which is interesting. We dominate in AI and quantum and fusion in every key category. The quality of life here consistently, and you look at the top 10 cities in the United States of America consistently, the top five are identified in the state of California, and we invent the future. It happens here first. We're America's coming attraction.
Well, sounds wonderful there. It used to be, I guess. Joining me now, my friend, the wonderful Ann Coulter. You really... really need to be reading her Substack, AnnCoulter.substack.com. And why is everybody leaving California? Because it is, well, it was paradise at one point in time.
Yes, it's funny. Pretty much everything he mentions there makes it sound, ooh, fantastic. It's something I suppose any government has nothing to do with. It's also by far the largest state. Of course it has the most Nobel laureates. It has an extensive university system. They have to go someplace. That doesn't mean the students know how to read, but they have the most people. And if you have the most people, you're going to have the most of all of those things. How about comparing it, population to population? Point one. Point two, yeah, the weather's great. The mountains are beautiful. The beaches are great. That wasn't the governor's doing.
And, I know we're talking about Newsom, but it occurs to me that they do this to all the most beautiful places. Oregon is maybe the most beautiful state in the country. These dirty commie savages have ruined it. Washington, same thing. They do the same. They have Connecticut. People don't know how beautiful Connecticut is. Whatever is beautiful, they're like locusts. They come and just descend on it. Why?
Yes, well, because it is beautiful. I think the question is more how. All of these beautiful places were built by conservatives, by Rockefeller, Carnegie, by oil barons. And I think we're finding out a little bit more than we have before. Any institution will be overtaken with leftists if given enough time. Consider Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation. And we got a good picture of how so many of these institutions are taken over. All the Ivy League schools, actually, I think all except mine, Cornell, were founded as Christian institutions. Dartmouth specifically to civilize the Indians into Christianity, an excellent mission, I might add. But liberals are sneaky, and their idea is to worm their way into these organizations. We also got a little. View into how they have so much money to be doing things like what Antifa is doing with the USAID expose. Oh my gosh, taxpayers are paying for a lot of left-wing agitating and nonsense.
Crime. Here was Gavin Newsom talking about crime.
See what's happening there. We do see businesses moving out for various reasons, but some of them saying they're concerned about the crime in the area. When you see that happening to your beloved city, What goes through your mind, and do you think something's going wrong there?
No, I think they're struggling to recover from the pandemic. They're struggling to come back. They're struggling with the macroeconomic shifts, particularly as it relates to telework, as it relates to what's the future of a downtown. Is it stacking of offices or stacking of people? And they're in the process of rezoning and rebirth and reimagination. By the way, I've seen that in San Francisco for decades.
From one, the hand thing really is odd. I know everybody talks about it too. And do people actually care that much about crime? I mean, they say they do, but it's still 50-50 country. Democrats are up in every generic ballot and they're the open jail party. Do people actually care about it?
Yes, I'm not sure Republicans run on it quite enough. And also, I mean, the crime is worse in very small pockets, places that are already run by very, very left-wing, mayors, DAs, and so on and so forth. So I guess it's a little hard to see in some of the election results. I think it helps Trump quite a bit. But you did, oh my gosh, that answer. I want to shoot him for this. This is a big campaign of the New York Times and I guess all Democrats to blame the bacchanal of violence that erupted and really hasn't gone down with the BLM riots in 2020. Luckily for them, that was also the same year we had the pandemic. But as I've written about endlessly, you can go back, as I have, and look at all of the headlines and newspapers in the first month of the pandemic, right up until June 1st, the day after the methamphetamine addict died in Minneapolis. And the big news was crime was going down all over. Headlines, Washington Post, New York Times, this is so great. Crime, at least, you know, making everybody stay home has whipped the crime problem. Headline after headline after headline. And then weirdly, it was right after George Floyd died that suddenly the crime rate went up higher than it has ever gone up in this country's history. The second biggest jump, I think it was 30% it went up by. Second biggest jump was in 1968, and I think it went up by around 12% that time. A gigantic jump in horrible violent crimes. This was entirely the liberals doing. They were the ones egging on Black Lives Matter. It was leftist DAs not only not punishing, not putting away these terrorists, Antifa, murdering people, just monstrous violence, but rewarding them. If a cop was a little too rough with them, the liberal mayors of these towns would say, oh my gosh, you poor little Antifa. Here, let's give you a gigantic multi-million dollar award paid for by the taxpayers, and then Antifa has more money to keep destroying things. That's what has caused the crime. The George Soros DAs, of course, they're the ones doing this. It wasn't the pandemic. Besides the fact that we had 6 weeks of crime absolutely going down all over the country because of the pandemic. Crime is moving in the opposite direction. But weirdly, crime didn't go up in the entire rest of the world for the rest of the pandemic. It was just in this country where BLM struck really hard.
And how much should we worry about Gavin Newsom in 2028? I mean, I have such disdain for him and everything he stands for anyway, and I find him creepy and weird. But I'm never going to vote for the Democrat. I'm not their target audience. Is he somebody we should fear?
I think so. I mean, he's polling. He's the one in recent polls, who's getting the majority of the Democratic vote. And I think we should worry. Not because of Newsom, whom I'm with you. I think he seems very slick and oily, but I don't know. Democrats don't mind that. I think it's just that it will have been, I don't know, 4 years of Trump, and the country does tend to go back and forth. People remember the things they don't like about the guy in power, and they can always project sunshine and puppies on the guy who hasn't held office yet. I find it hard to believe in my rational brain that someone who has done to California what Governor Newsom has done to California, that he could achieve higher office, but I don't know, the country did elect Joe Biden. Sort of.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I guess, kind of. And you're the best. Come back. All right. John Phillips lives under Gavin Newsom. I mean, he lives in California. Yeah, whatever. We're going to talk to John Phillips next.
It's clear that this governor has a vision for our country. He has knowledge of our country and our state. The state of California, the fourth largest economy in the world, Gavin manages that way, that with great dignity. He has strategic thinking about how to get things done, and that is what has brought us together here. When this opportunity occurred, Gavin had a plan. He's a man with a plan, and that's what brings us here today.
It's hard watching Grandma Vodka in these later years still attempt to be functional. But either way, joining me now, John Phillips, host of the wonderful John Phillips Show. John, let's start actually with those two. How far back did those two go?
They go back a long time, but they're not as close as people think that they are necessarily. Nancy Pelosi came from Leo McCarthy, who was the Speaker of the California Assembly, the Lieutenant Governor. And Gavin Newsom came from Willie Brown. So while they both come from San Francisco politics, they were mentored and socialized into that world by different people. And so I know a lot of people say, well, they're related by marriage. Well, yeah, that's kind of true. One of Gavin's relatives married one of her husband's relatives, but they're not as close as people necessarily think. The point that she made there, okay, though, is not... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, the point that she made is not entirely accurate. She was referencing Prop 50, which was California redrawing the district lines, and said that Gavin Newsom was a man with a plan. And that couldn't be further from the truth. He got Nancy Pelosi and the congressional Democrats to sign on to him going out and threatening to do something like this as a bluff. And then he decided that he would turn it into an opportunity to go on a nationwide tour, going on all these podcasts where he engaged in all of this bar talk, where he talked about if Texas does this, this is what we're going to do. So back down now. And he got so deep into it that they were boxed into a corner where they had to move forward with Proposition 50. She didn't want to do it. The Democrats in Congress didn't want to do it. He forced them into it by running around the country and running his mouth.
Okay, so Prop 50, explain to people what it is and why wouldn't Nancy Pelosi want it?
Well, that's a heavily gerrymandered map for California's congressional districts that would benefit Democrats and probably draw out 5 Republicans. They didn't want to do it because these people are old and lazy. And if you're old and lazy and you've represented a congressional district for 30 years, are you really want to get in your car and drive 4 hours to the outskirts of California to meet your new constituents and learn new issues and get on different committees and do all the things that they're now going to have to do with all of their new districts? They didn't want to do that. What they wanted to do was they wanted to put pressure on Texas to back down so there wouldn't be Republican gains in Texas, but they wouldn't have to work any harder in California. Gavin Newsom, by doing what he did, forced their hand.
So you say they kind of come from different trees, it sounds like, in California. Are they enemies? Frenemies? What are they then?
I don't necessarily know if I'd call them frenemies. Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris are frenemies because they're of the same age and they came up around the same time. And in theory, they could bump into each other when they would be competing for the same offices. Now, they made it a point to run for different offices, so that never happened. Now, they may run against each other for president. You're already starting to see that infighting going on. But Nancy was already long established by the time that Gavin came around. She never regarded him as a threat. She regarded him as someone who could help her out and do things for her, but she never regarded him as someone who could was capable of taking her job or preventing her from doing whatever it is that she wanted to do.
Kamala, Dome, if you will, her and Newsom, you mentioned them potentially running against each other in 2028. I have a theory, it's just purely a theory, that she's going to skip this cycle because she's so tainted in the minds of Democrat donors. I think it's going to be very difficult for her to raise large amounts of money, but it's just a theory. I don't know that. What say you?
Well, the Cold War between those two has gone hot in certain ways. First of all, in her book, and I read this passage, so since I saw the numbers and none of you else, nobody else did, she talked about how when Joe dropped out of the race and Obama and Pelosi and others wanted an open primary that would have benefited a candidate like Gavin, she prevented that from happening by securing endorsements almost immediately, including Joe Biden's. She said in the book that she called Gavin Newsom to tell him about this and that he sent her to voicemail and never returned the phone call. And it's not even just that that happened. It's that it happened and she wanted to whack him about it. So she put that passage in the book. You don't have to put that in the book. She chose to put that in the book. And then here in California right now, we have a huge scandal going on that involves the former chief of staff for Gavin Newsom and others. And many of them have already pled guilty, so we know that people are going to go to jail and they are going to be convicted over this, although the chief of staff has not done that yet. She's said that she is innocent and she's going to fight these charges. But when that story broke, one of the first people to spike the football on Gavin Newsom is a guy by the name of Gil Duran, who is a former aide to Kamala Harris. So the Harris people are enjoying the scandal because the scandal doesn't touch them. It's a scandal that's associated with Gavin and Javier Becerra, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, and others. But if they had such a great relationship, you probably wouldn't have your people out there spiking the football and celebrating, doing the end zone dance when your buddy is dealing with a scandal.
How scandalous is Newsom's past as it pertains to the United States of America running for president? I mean, I know in California there are a million micro scandals of his. What's going to stain him when he tries to sell himself in Wisconsin in a few years?
Well, you have his record, which is abysmal, so I would start with that. In terms of scandal, in California, if you're a Democrat in good standing, it's hard to really get caught in a scandal unless the feds catch you. Because don't forget, he appointed the last attorney general. He appointed Rob Bonta to that office. Rob Bonta is not a guy who's going to go after Gavin Newsom or any of his misdeeds. That's a political ally of his, and he's not going to bite the hand that feeds him. So for the most part, Gavin, if he was doing something illegal, would get a pass at the local level. Right now, this scandal involving his chief of staff could theoretically hurt him because the chief of staff is someone who's now looking at up to 20 years in prison. And she is alleged to have stolen money from a campaign account. She is alleged to have influenced the position of the state in a lawsuit that involved one of her former clients. And she is someone who is not well-liked in Sacramento. She's a big, fat woman who apparently has a drinking problem and is known to get all juiced up on the sauce at night and start dialing the phone and threatening everyone on behalf of the governor. I have talked to any number of people who have received these late night phone calls from this woman where she just tells you how it's going to be, and if you don't do what she says, you're dead to Gavin Newsom. Well, who knows what she has done or said in Gavin Newsom's name? Who knows if he is aware of any of this or all of this? It looks like it's a good cop, bad cop thing where she's the enforcer and then he's the good cop. But when she was initially contacted by the FBI about her alleged wrongdoing, her claim was that they told her that she was not the target of the investigation. that Gavin Newsom was the target of the investigation, and they thought she might have useful information. And what's particularly interesting about this is this didn't happen in the Trump DOJ. This happened in the Biden-Harris DOJ. That's when this investigation started. So whatever it was that they were looking into, it started back when Grampy Joe and Kamala were running the show.
Now that is an interesting wrinkle. All right, switching gears a little bit here. Money, everyone knows, I mean, it takes $2 billion now to run for friggin' president. It's amazing the amount of money it takes. And obviously Gavin Newsom can raise money. You don't get to be California governor unless you can raise large amounts of it. And he raised $2 billion?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be able to raise the money. If he's the nominee, any Democratic candidate, absent Grampy Joe after that first debate, is going to have no problem raising money. In a primary, he's going to have access to all of the dollars in Silicon Valley, all of the dollars in Hollywood, all of the dollars from the public employee unions, who he's given very generous contracts to over the years. I don't think that's going to be a problem for him. The problem for him is that the Democratic Party is going to have to ask itself, after they nominated one California liberal to be their nominee in 2024, do they want to do that again? Are you prepared to nominate someone who has the same political profile a second time in a row? Because usually what the parties try to do is they try to move in a different direction. You have someone that loses for reasons X, Y, and Z. Okay, let's try to fix that and find someone who doesn't have those problems and has strengths that can make up for whatever it was that we fell short on the last time. If you're going with Gavin Newsom, you're saying, well, the reason that Kamala lost was she had a very abbreviated campaign, so let's just go ahead and double and triple down on all of that, on California excess, and see if that works a second time. If I am the Democratic Party, I look at that as being a suicidal position.
But that assigns some amount of logic to the Democrat voter, right? Because the truth is, it's not going to come from the top this time. You've got to win voters in South Carolina and all these other states. We're asking them to be logical, and if they were logical, they wouldn't be Democrats.
And I think that Gavin's play is that he's going to try to say that he's the bridge within the party, because you have essentially one wing of partisan Democrats and one wing of the DSA AOC types. And while we don't see much difference between them, within those circles, they do. And I think Gavin's move is going to be to say, look, I can bring the party together from Manchin to Mamdani. And I'm someone that everyone can live with. I'm not going to give you 100% of what you want, but I'll give you enough of what you want to make you happy. And when you look at who his competitors are likely to be, you know, he's got AOC on one side, where if you're a partisan Democrat and you look at the socialists as someone you can't trust, then you're going to have a problem with that. There are Jewish Democrats, for example, that look at the position that the DSA types have on Israel as being irreconcilable. And then on the other side, you're going to have the Josh Shapiros of the world, where certain segments of that party just will not vote for a Jewish candidate under any circumstances. And Gavin doesn't have any of those red flags on either side. And I think that he believes that he can be the bridge.
John, I am sure we'll be discussing this again. Thank you, my brother. We have so much more. Hang on. It's never too early to look ahead. Obviously, we have to stay focused on things like local elections and midterms and stuff like that, like we talked about in the opening. But one, looking ahead is fun. Two, they're already looking ahead. They're already making plans. Gavin Newsom has been making plans to run for president since he came out of the womb. He's going to run. He's going to raise a ton of money. We don't know, neither of us, we don't know where the country's going to be mentally, politically, in 2028. It's not at all outside of the realm of possibility that, I don't even want to say it, that he wins. It's not. It can happen. There's a lot of ground to cover between now and then, but we'll stay on it. See you again.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.